You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
I'm preaching on one word tonight. It's a word that I live. I live it in my life. It's the word vision. Brother Swanson spoke so eloquently tonight. Without a vision, people perish. Every church needs a vision. Amen. Every church needs a vision. A church without a vision is dying. And I'm telling you, they're dying all over America right now. Brother Evertson is more an authority on this than I am, but I have so many churches that are asking for a pastor, and he has a lot more. Churches that have been a year, two, I think this church, Brother Moore, is taking 2 or 3 years without a pastor. Churches that are assembled together in their auditoriums and then watch our service because they don't have a pastor. I can't imagine that. Churches closing their doors because there's no pastor. A church recently contacted us and said, we're closing our doors. We've even asked our city. We have a large property, large parking, large classrooms, large auditorium. We've even asked our city, can we give it to the city? And you can just use it however you want to use it. And they said, we don't think we're interested in it. And thank God for that, we're interested in it. Amen. You know, there has to be a vision for every church. Every one of these men and the ladies on our staff have a vision for your life. Every college professor, Brother Oxendine, has a vision for every student that's in this college. We have a vision for every elementary and grade school and secondary student in our high school. Brother Fanera has a vision. We have a vision for this church. You need a vision for your marriage. What's your vision for your marriage? Are you reading the Bible together? Are you praying together? Are you talking about spiritual things together? Are you just living your life? What's your vision for your marriage? I would suggest early in this month of January, you and your wife go to McDonald's, get a cup of coffee, sit across the table at a public setting like that, and just talk, what is our vision for our life? What are we going to accomplish with our lives? I believe every individual needs a vision. I'm praying for our college so much these days. We have to have students that have a vision, that want to go accomplish something for God. And say, I'm going to give my life to God. Amen. My wife and I have no disappointment that we've given our entire adult lives to God. And now our lives are, we're growing old. And yet, I'm so glad I can look back and say, God, I've not been what I should have been, but I gave you my all. I gave it to this church. I gave you the ministry. I gave it to the songbook. I gave it to the Bible. I gave it to soul winning. I gave it to door knocking. I gave it to Bible distribution. I gave my life to you, dear God. And I want that to be a heartbeat in our college students this year. I pray with the youth pastor, you boys, like never before, will get a vision for your life that you'll live for God a lifetime. You'll live for this book. You'll marry right. You'll be a good husband, a good father, good wife, good mother. Tonight, I'm looking at the subject vision. Vision is what Brother Swanson said. It's taking a picture of the future and bringing it right into the present. Vision, and you're tired of me saying this because you know it. Vision is picturing the way it should be or the way it could be in the immediate future. I have a vision for this church. I have a vision for that corner building. I believe it's going to be this year. If God doesn't give it to us this year, it'll be next year if he tarries. But God's going to give us that building. I don't know how. I don't know when. We don't have the money. But God can do that. God can do anything but fail. It must have a vision. And tonight as we look at vision, we're finding here that David had a vision to build a house for God. The Bible says in chapter 28, and David assembled all the princes of Israel. There's 6 groups of people he assembled. And when you're going to have a vision, you have to organize people to work with you. I'm looking at Brother Shilton. I remember preaching years ago the message on 12. And every group needs 12. We have 12 mechanics that work on our buses. I thank God for that. We can have maybe 24 in the security. 12 times 2 is 24 that work in the security. We have 12 times 12 times 12 in the orchestra, 36 people playing instruments. I thank God for that. I thank God for the 12 ushers, 36 ushers that we have. I thank God for all the people of God. But I look at chapter 28, verse number 1, David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribe, the captains, and he lists them, captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, and then the stewards over all the substance of the possession of the king with his sons, and the officers with the mighty men and with the valiant men. Six groups of people are mentioned there. And David had a vision. My vision is to build a house for God. And so I'm going to gather all you people together, and we're going to accomplish something to God, for God together. Yeah. We're going to accomplish, we're going to pass out 100,000 Bibles this year. Yeah. We're going to go door knocking to 100,000 doors in 1 week's time. We're going to get the army of this church to read their Bible through from cover to cover. We're going soul winning. We're having 10,000 people to church on Easter weekend. It's going to be great. We're having the great Easter and Christmas musical like we always have. It's going to be wonderful. But we need to get organized. Amen. You know, I'm so grateful for this choir. The choir will never understand the blessing they are to my life. Not a choir in America like it. I might be wrong. There may be, I believe I may be wrong on this. I believe it's probably the largest choir in America right now. The largest choir in America in fundamental Baptist churches. I might be wrong. There may be more, but I don't know of any. I know more churches without a choir. I know more churches with 7 people in their choir, or 10 people in the choir, or 12 people in the choir. And I look at this choir. They come to practice. The orchestra comes to practice. They practice for special activities. They practice for pastors and workers conference. They practice for the Christmas celebration. And I thank God. But it takes a whole group of people working together. Amen. These ushers come down. Every time I stand here, I watch them up the balcony, and I watch them. They form an aisle. And I don't think you have to wear a tie to church. So if you're not on a tie, but they all have ties on, and they all have suits on, and they all look so special. I thank God for those men. I thank God for our church. I thank God for these teenagers. Oh, our teenagers. I believe our teenagers have a love for God. I believe it. I know they're still going to be weak, and I know they're going to fail in this or that. I know some days they won't read their Bible. They won't pray like they should. But I believe you're raising good teenagers in this church tonight. Amen. I thank God for the widows. I thank God for the widowers. I thank God for the youth. I thank God for the retired people, the prime timers. They're all busy in our church. They're out here tomorrow. People that are retired will be out here working on the buses tomorrow. People that are retired will be working in the offices tomorrow. People that are retired are going to be working every day this week in food services. And I thank God for them. Hey, I want to tell you, every day we have people working the housekeeping. Retired people, retired but not sitting around watching Gunsmoke. David organized these people. He said, I'm going to build a house for God. Vision always takes organizing people. All these men, Brother Flood organized those bus captains. Reorganize them. Brother Swanson's taking you downstairs tonight, all you parents and all you teenagers, just for a brief meeting. It won't be long, but he wants to begin to organize you into a group, and I'm so excited about it. Hey, I want Brother Fenner to organize. We have the world's best school teachers in America.
Amen!
Excuse me, that's not true. We have the world's best teachers in the world.
Amen!
They're amazing. They're servants. They love God. They love those students. I watched a teacher this past week at a ball game, and I watched her open up her wallet, and she reached in and got some money for a boy in her school class. so he could eat that night. She didn't see me see her, but I saw her. But God saw that act of kindness. A little boy who's in here tonight that's sorrow, has sorrow in his heart. But thank God we have school teachers like that. David organized these people. And then not only did he organize them, you're going to have to expect disappointments with your vision. I wish I could tell you that all 12 months are going to be smooth sailing. It's not going to be, look at verse 2. David the king stood up on his feet. He said, "Hear me, brethren, my people. As for me, I had my heart to build a house, the rest, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and a footstool or a God, and he made ready for the building." What's the next two words in verse 3? "But God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and thou hast shed blood." Put yourself in David's spot. A man after God's own heart. A man that was the first and the best king out of all kings. A man that gave us most of the book of Psalms, or wrote the Psalms. And God says, "You're not going to be able to do this vision. I'm not going to allow you to accomplish this." Now, he's going to get involved, but he can't build the house of God. That had to be a great disappointment. That had to be a wound. But he knew God was right. God's always right. Amen. I can recall praying for years that God would give us a property, could put a building like this on it. I had these drawings in my folders for years of this building. We didn't realize it, so I won't go into the whole detail, but we lost 65 feet of this building after we put the structure in. We found out that our architect was dying of cancer, in the midst of it died, and he negotiated with the city and took 65 feet off the building. And we lost the 65 feet downstairs. That could have been a 450 seat auditorium downstairs. You know, that was disappointing. But God knew he wanted 3,000 seats right here. Amen. God knew what he wanted. I want to be able to pray with my life, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." I want the will of God in my life more than anything. I don't know what that's going to mean. I don't know what sorrow is ahead of me this year. I don't know what disappointment's ahead of me this year. I don't know what heartache is ahead of me this year. But I do know that there'll be disappointment. Every vision has disappointment. Your husband's going to walk out on you this year. Your wife's going to walk out on you this year. You're going to have sorrow. You're going to have to, you're sitting here tonight saying, not my home, but it's going to happen in your home. He had a vision. That vision was clouded with disappointment. There will be disappointment. Look at the third thing. One, you organize your people. Two, you expect disappointments. Three, you accept God's will. Verse 5, "For all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne and the kingdom of the Lord. And he said unto me, Solomon, my son, shall build my house. I've chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father." You know, God said, I've chosen your son to do this. I know of a great pastor. He's not pastoring now, but he pastored for so many years. He's much older than I am. But he got disappointed when his son began to out-pastor him and out-succeed him. And it always hurt my heart that he could not be happy that his son outpastored him numerically and all of his ministry and all his reach. You know, the prayer of my life, I have three sons that are preachers. My prayer is that all three will be way beyond what God's done for me. I pray that God will give them a greater reach, a greater opportunity. Amen. I think of my one son is here tonight. He's in a couple of weeks going to the Philippines. I'm praying that God will use that trip in his life just to help mold him, that he could be a better principal of our school and better servant of God. And I hope that God will imprint his heart on worldwide missions. Maybe one day when God takes me home down the road, maybe one day he'll raise up and God will raise him up for worldwide missions out of this church. Maybe this will be the large sending station for worldwide missions here in California. God may just do that, but God has a will. One, I saw that God had David organize the people. Two, I see that David had disappointment with his vision. Three, I found out that David accepted God's will. And number four, I still have to do my part. Amen. Look at verse 11. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, the houses thereof, and the treasuries, and the upper chambers thereof, and the pattern, verse number 12, and the treasuries, dedicated things. David says, all right, I'm not going to be able to build this house for God. God has chosen my son. I can't build it, but I can draw the drawings. I can be the architect. I can draw the drawings. I can give the money, and I can invest in the work of God and help my son get this task done. Hey, every parent, your goal ought to have your child succeed way much more than you succeeded in life. I want my kids to succeed so much. I want them to succeed with God, with raising their children, that their children might have a love for God and a love for their dad and a love for their mom. That's my desire. Amen. And David said, I want to organize you people to work, all six groups of you. I'm going to expect some disappointments, and he had them. I'm going to accept God's will for my life, and I am going to do my part in building this house for God. I cannot build it. God won't let me do that, but I can draw the plans. We have a song, page 95, give of your best to the master, give of the strength of thy youth. God wants you to just give your best. We sang last Wednesday night, I think, Brother Martinez, hear ye, page 129, I think, hear ye the master's call, give me thy best, for be it great or small, that is his test. Do then the best you can, not for reward, not for the praise of man, but for the Lord. Every work for Jesus is going to be blessed. So David, you don't get to build the house of God, but you can make the plans. You can give your money. So you may not be able to do something for the vision of this church, but you can pray for it, and you can invest in it, and you can give toward it. I find that David organized the people. I find that David was disappointed that he wasn't able to build. I find that David accepted the will of God. I find that David did his part. I find that he sold out. Look at chapter 29. He sold out to God. Verse 29, chapter 29, verse 3. Let's read it together. Chapter 29, verse 3. Ready? Begin. Moreover, because I have set my affection, the Bible says, I've set my affection in the house of God. Amen. He never lost his vision. Though he could not build the house of God, he said, I haven't lost my vision. I don't know what stroke is coming your way, but don't lose your vision this year. I don't know what cancer is coming your way this year, but don't lose your vision. I don't know what MS is coming your way, but don't lose your vision. I don't know what car accident or plane accident is coming your way, but don't lose your vision. Amen. I don't know what financial reversal is coming, but don't lose your vision. Amen. Have your eyes caught the vision? Have your hearts felt the thrill to the call of the master? Will you answer, I will? Amen. There has to be a vision. Lastly, I find you need to keep your vision spiritual. Chapter 29, verse 20. And David said to all the congregation, "Now bless the Lord your God." And all the congregation blessed the Lord their God of their fathers and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord the King. I could tell you this for a fact. I can look back on 50 years of ministry and tell you I've always had a vision for this church. I recall we were renting that property on Clyde Avenue, just a little A-frame building. It seated about 80 people. Jim Carrey and I enlarged it. My wife was out of town visiting her family. And we worked till Thursday night, Sunday night after church. We worked every night, every day. We got it up to 198 chairs. And I'll never forget Thursday night late. She was coming home Friday, I think it was. And I stood up there, it was early Friday morning probably by now. And I looked and I said, "Lord, what have I done? How will we ever fill 198 chairs? How will we do this? God, I don't know how, but I believe you can do it."
Amen.
And we rented that building, but we remodeled it and grew it. And then they sold it. They advertised it. The real estate agent Saturday night was coming through with the people. And I called the owners. I said, "You can't sell it. We're buying it." And we met on Monday morning. He said, "I'll give you 30 days to buy it." And we stepped out by faith and we bought that building. You know, I never lost my vision. Al Rutledge, he said, "Now, Jack, I want you to build a 16 by 20 room." And he was an architect. He helped start our church. And he would just tell me, "Okay, here's where the footings are." I said, "What are footings?" I had no idea. And he said, that's what you put around the perimeter of the building. You got three sides to build. And I want you to dig all day long." And I dug. I had so much blisters on my hand. Nobody was in our church. I just dug and dug and that clay and dug. And I got all the way around that thing. And it took a couple days. And then he said, "Okay, now we're going to put the forms in." I learned how to build that building.
Amen.
I learned how to, 16 by 20 is not even this platform. But we built it. We used it as Sunday school, and then we used it as nursery and adult classes. God gave me a vision for this church.
Amen.
We've had a theme every year because God gave me a vision. And I can tell you this, I have a vision for 2026.
Amen.
And I want to live that vision with you. Would you join with me tonight? Will you say yes to God? That you may not be able to be the pastor, or you may not be able to do something else. David was handed a disappointing situation, but he said, "I'm still gonna get involved. I'm gonna help."
Amen.
And for 20 years, he built that house and his own house. 20 years, God gave him something to do for 20 years. Why don't you just get involved?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.